Baldacci is making a difference for Maine seniors.
Paid for and authorized by the Joe Baldacci for State Senate Committee, Eugene Sullivan, Treasurer.
In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Maine Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
That's right. That's right. Monday afternoon, it means Alan Adams graces us with his presence here in the studio to talk movies and more. Welcome, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. How was your weekend?
It was great. Maybe a little more social than I tend to like, but
you mean like seeing people and stuff?
Yeah, like being out and like doing stuff.
Wow.
It was funny. We actually went, we made plans to, on Saturday, go down to Ellsworth and meet some folks at Fogtown Brewing, which was hosting a cider pressing demonstration. So we go down there to meet them. And lo and behold, if other friends of ours aren't like there also.
Wow.
And so it turned into a whole thing. We hung out at Fogtown for a while. We went to the to Ellsworth's Black Moon Public House. I had never been there before, but that was very nice.
Nice.
We had a good time. And then on Sunday wound up having lunch up here with two of those friends, because they came up for the Rock and Gem show at the world famous Brewer Auditorium.
Wow. Well, yeah, you were a social butterfly.
Yeah, then. But you know, like low-key social, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So that was about my speed. Like I didn't want to be, that was about the ceiling in terms of number of people I wanted to be around.
Right. I hear you.
So it was nice. How about you? How was your weekend? How was Oklahoma, man? That was...
Well, you know, it was a bit of a rush because they had storms coming.
They bumped up the front of the...
They moved up the game, which sort of put us on a really condensed schedule, especially in the morning. Didn't really get to explore much.
Yeah.
That's a big city, Oklahoma City, 700,000 plus.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there, huh?
Woo, doggies. And then we got out. There was a little window to get out between storms. And, man, we just missed it hours after we left. Tornado went through Oklahoma City.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Did some damage. Several people hurt. So it was a little crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. It must have been great for you guys to experience a new place. And
it was very cool, you know, walking around. I've talked to one of the Maine players, and he said, you know, I was in the locker room just taking it all in and thinking about all the visiting players who've been in this locker room for the years. And it's certainly one of those places where you can feel the ghosts of college football there.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. And, you know, not for nothing. And, you know, I can't speak to all of it because I didn't see the whole thing. But I will say, from what I watched on TV, I feel like that final score is maybe a little deceptive.
Yeah, I mean, look, speed at that level is always the difference maker. Maine didn't play badly. One penalty the whole game, one turnover for each team. Quarterback played well.
They had a lead,
tied at the end of the first quarter. But, you know, they got those guys that can run a 4.25 40 that, you know, in the CAA, a guy finds a seam and breaks a tackle, then somebody at the next level will tackle him. But these guys, gone.
Oh,
see
ya. Just like there were like half a dozen dudes, just absolute jets.
Yeah.
It was, but you know, like I will say, and again, I saw the beginning and I saw towards the end. Kudos to UMaine for staying in it. You know what I mean?
Like, I wish they'd scored that last touchdown.
Sure.
You know, if it's 59-21, or even if they, you know, hadn't scored one, 52-21, all right. But hey, as it was, they played Temple early in the year, and Oklahoma beat them 51-3, and they're an FBS team,
right?
So.
Yeah, like I mean, I think all things considered, like certainly, I hope the team is proud of the work that they did.
I think so. And it was a great experience. You know, we were talking to the coach earlier, a young man from Cape Elizabeth, Nick Laughlin, scores his first college touchdown at Oklahoma.
Right.
I mean, you'd be talking about that for the next 60 years.
Yeah, no, that's it's funny. I mentioned this to Sheridan, and I just turned to her, like we're watching some of the game unfold, and I'm like, a lot of core memories being formed right there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be back and home this weekend, which is kind of exciting.
Yes.
I miss home.
A nice change of pace for you.
I like home, except I'm not wild about this dark at 4:58.
Like we're driving home and we're driving home from work. It's like, I don't know, 4:45. And I just look out the window and I turn to Sheridan and I'm like, geez, it's dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just going to get darker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not wild about this.
Yeah. But what are you going to do? I will say I listened to a bunch of your conversation with Amy Fried coming in. Man, she knows her stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Fascinating.
And I said, I'm not going to ask you to predict anything because I don't think any of us know for sure.
No. No. But, you know, I know that I've been nursing a little bit of a stomach ache the last few days. And you know, my wife is in a similar predicament. And it's funny you were talking about potentially not watching. It's like, I don't want to watch.
No, I don't either.
I'm going to.
Me too.
But I don't want to.
Nope.
So it'll be interesting. But I will say, and you alluded to it a little bit, you know, we've had multiple people come to the door. They're all on one side.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I will say there's a certain satisfaction. This will come as a surprise to no one who's listening to this. I was able to tell them, oh no, you already got us.
Right.
Yeah.
Even signage. Now, again, I've talked to somebody today who said they were out in one of the rural areas and they, you know, there were a bunch of Trump signs, but not just around here, but, you know, I expect to see that many in Bangor, certainly not in my communist neighborhood.
Yeah.
But even on the road, I did not see many in Oklahoma. I've not seen any in you know, like New Hampshire, traveling through there, Rhode Island. Certainly not as many as I saw 4 years ago. So I think there might be, what did Amy call it, an enthusiasm gap.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to sort of put it. And again, like you said, who knows?
Yeah.
I've long since given up trying to understand. Right. Simply because like it's all out there. Like if you're listening, if you're watching and listening to all of this and you're still making your choice, like
right, seriously,
like
how is that possible?
What can I say to you? There's nothing I can
say. What's your deciding factor going to be? Which is why I don't even believe it. I don't even believe there are all those undecideds out there.
Oh, there's no such thing as an undecided voter. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for one second. No. I think. Let me put it this way. I don't think there's any such thing as an undecided voter in this particular contest, simply because they're so diametrically opposite.
Right.
Like, you can't be I just don't believe that there's a person out there who is weighing those two options and just being like, I don't know.
I think the only undecideds might be those who aren't sure if they're going to vote for either one.
Right, right. I think that's good. And luckily here in Maine, you can vote for all kinds of people if you want.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, plenty of choices.
Which is great.
Couple I hadn't even heard of on that ballot.
Yeah, I was like, you know, you're looking at it, it's like, oh man, Cordell West. I forgot he was doing this.
That's right.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Not my vote, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not getting involved with any of that, but, you know, you do you.
Right. Exactly. Alan Adams with us here on Downtown. Now, well, you said you saw one movie in the last week.
I did. I saw one. It was a streamer. There were a couple at the Cineplex that I was hoping to get out to see. But you know, I'm going out and seeing people. Like, I don't have
you're a social guy. You can't do it all.
My cup is only so full. You know?
Understand?
You know, like you alluded to it briefly off air. I, along with the rest of America, did not see. Here, the new Robert Zemeckis movie starring Tom Hanks. Some of the reviews have been pretty savage.
Oof,
so
yeah.
The one I did want to see, and I did not get a chance, was Lost on a Mountain in Maine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I will eventually see. We'll have a conversation about that sooner or later. I was talking to somebody today, and they were just the big takeaway for them was Sylvester Stallone produced this movie.
Yes, yeah,
which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I've heard it's pretty good, so we'll go from there. But I didn't see either of those movies.
So what did you see?
I saw a movie called Time Cut.
Time Cut.
Time Cut on Netflix. it was it's a Halloween movie. It's a horror movie. Well, ostensibly a horror movie. Horror comedy?
Oh.
Horror sci-fi? Like, it's... actually, you may... Because we talked about this movie on air. There was a movie a few months back that I talked to you about called Totally Killer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was a woman, you know, a teenager goes back in time to the 80s to help prevent a series of murders. Well, this movie is that, except 2003.
Oh,
Yes.
Okay.
No, we've got a. It's written and directed by Hannah McPherson, and the basic gist is in 2003 we have we meet this high school senior named Summerfield. She's at the senior class spring fling. Her friends, but you know she's there even though she doesn't want to be because her friends Emmy, Brian, and Val have all recently been murdered.
Wow, that's rough.
By the Sweetly Slasher, Sweetly, Minnesota being the name of their town.
Okay.
But you know, it's like it's one of those things where I will say it's handy to have this sort of shorthand with a movie. It's like, oh, okay, so everyone involved is going to behave in the stupidest manner possible. Got it. Okay. Like, and that's, you know, and that's kind of horror movie 101.
Right.
Like, it's like everybody kind of does dumb things.
Have to do that.
Unsurprisingly, our dear, sweet Summerfield gets murdered by the slasher, who is, you know, dude in a hoodie with a mask and like a plastic face mask and a knife, like, you know, your standard slashery type stuff. We see her get offed. Then we flash forward to the present day. It's 2024. And we meet a young lady named Lucy, who's a high school student. She is, Summerfield was her sister, but she never met her.
Hmm.
And Lucy is, and this is kind of a little heavy for this kind of movie, but it's like, She's basically there because her parents tried to fill the void by having another child after their child had been murdered. So you've got like older parents who are also grieving and have never really properly adjusted. And so, as you can imagine, young Lucy's life, one could argue that it's perhaps not as loving as you might want it to be. But conveniently enough, also a scientific genius. And so she's going to go to Washington, D.C. for a NASA internship, despite her parents' misgivings. But you know, it's everyone still talks about the time that the slasher came, and we're coming up on the anniversary, and her Lucy's parents are weird and protective, even as they're distant and all that. So Lucy's like getting ready to go. She's trying to figure out what she's going to do. She goes to visit the shrine at the barn where the spring fling took place. So there's a little shrine that springs up on the anniversary of the murders. She sees this flash off behind the barn. She's like, what is that? So she goes, and Rich, wouldn't you know it? In the barn, there's a time machine.
Wow. Wow. That's very unexpected.
You don't expect to see a time machine in the barn.
No, I don't.
She accidentally activates it and is pulled in. And the next thing you know, well, you know what? It's 2003, 2 days before the murders. And so
what a coincidence.
And so then we get to watch the standard sort of like goofy nostalgia, like everyone's, you know, wearing like, it's very difficult for me because 2003 is a little hazy for me.
Right.
I was in my mid-20s, you know, one could argue to call it drifting through my mid-20s.
I knew you went. Yes, I
yes,
think
you
that's,
did. Yeah,
that seems, is an apropos term.
That seems about right.
Hey, I was drifting. I was in my 40s.
Right,
then.
We all were. So anyway, she goes back and she realizes that this is an opportunity for her to try to save her sister and, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. And then hijinks ensue, as they often do. And we watch this young lady scamper around Sweetly, trying to figure out how to prevent not just her sister's murders, but the murders of those who were killed before. Right. I don't think it's a spoiler for me to say, doesn't go as well as she might have hoped.
Ow.
with a lot of that. We'll leave it there. Honestly, like, I've probably talked to you about half as long as this movie is. It's a very short film. And it's not very good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I like the time travel movies.
I do, too. And it's the thing that's a bummer about it is I almost wonder, because Totally Killer is superior to this film in pretty much every way. And I wonder if I hadn't seen that, I wonder if it would change my attitude about this one.
Right.
But it's just it's like conceptually it's too similar conceptually to be this much less well executed. The actors are fine. I didn't recognize a single one of them, upon asking around, it's like they're involved with various The one of them is the star of a show called Outer Banks, which I don't watch.
I've heard of it.
Yep. It's some sort of like soapy teen kind of thing. Another one is on a show called Ginny in Georgia, which I'm also not familiar with.
Nope.
Yes, you know, they're like, you know, they're young, attractive, essentially interchangeable people. You'll notice I haven't mentioned a lot of names, certainly not a lot of names of actors or actresses, because I don't know them. I don't need to know them.
No.
Because unless I find myself watching Time Cut 2, I don't anticipate seeing a lot of these guys going forward. Yeah, it's just one of those movies where you can kind of see a glimmer of something, but it just, for whatever reasons, the pieces just don't come together in a way that is appropriately realized. In the end, it's like an hour and a half. So, I mean, worst case scenario, like, I mean, I watched a chunk of it while like folding laundry. And it seems like that's actually
that
might be the way to do it. Cause like, you know, even like it's one of those movies, and we talk about this. It's one of those movies that I think struggles because it's not entirely sure what it wants to be.
Right.
It's not sure what tone to strike, and so it just feels muddy. It's like there are some moments that are like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then there's like, oh, hey, here's a joke. Oh, so she was born of a loveless marriage. Yikes. And, you know, just like all this like weird, like overlapping stuff that doesn't really fit together in any coherent fashion. So, yeah, at the risk of being glib, you know, Time Cut doesn't really make the cut.
No.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome.
Alan Adams, social butterfly, movie critic, and more. Thank you.
Of course.
See you next week.
Yes, sir.
18 to go before the top of the hour. The good, the bad, the ugly. Well, coming up right after this on Downtown. In today's busy world, it's important to have an insurance agent you can count on. At FAP.